We interrupt our regular schedule of Unpacked with PMMI podcasts to bring you some hope. Today we talk with Kevin Mauger, president of NCC Automated Systems. A lot of companies call their coworkers family, but Kevin has always put his money where his mouth is when it comes to NCC. In 2017, he essentially made his employees his partners via an employee stock ownership plan. Right from the beginning of this pandemic, Kevin and NCC have taken the approach that this crisis can be galvanizing, for when it lifts, we will all be stronger for it. So with that, welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Well, thank you, Sean.
You've always had a unique relationship with your employees as president of NCC, and you've kind of taken a more of a we're all in this together approach versus a strict I'm the boss and this is how we're going to do it. This is just having known you for, you know, probably more than 10 years now. With that in mind, how did that type of relationship that you've kind of always had and built up with your employees, how did that help you when it became apparent that the coronavirus was going to be, you know, a life and a business changing event?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, I think it starts with trust. I think that our employees know that they can trust me to make a decision that's in everybody's best interest. It kind of starts with purpose, right? I have publicly proclaimed my purpose in my career is to help out those around me, starting with the employees and customers and vendors I'm associated with. I just, you know, it's the best forum I have to make a difference in this world. So, I guess it comes down to employees believing in what you're saying and what you're doing, so that in times of crisis, which I guess that's where we are today, in terms of crisis, that they're trusting that you're making the right decisions.
Sure.
And I don't know that I am in every case, but I am being as transparent as possible, kind of walking them through everything, laying things out and saying, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, and here's what we're hoping comes out of it.
So communication's obviously always been a big thing. It's the thing that comes up the most when everyone we've talked to, especially during this this pandemic. Every one of these pods we've done, they've all said that, you know, communication was the thing that was the biggest thing that the employees like to hear, and it was the biggest thing on their end just to keep everyone informed. So obviously you've established that. So what were some of the first things you did to kind of formulate and execute a plan? I'm sure you probably had some level of plan for, you know, a tornado or something like that. But I don't know if you would have had obviously something to this extent.
No, we saw this coming.
Did you?
Okay. No, I'm kidding. obviously. It's funny. Communication always ends up being the source of either the success or the failure of anything, right? It's never enough, no matter what. It's never perfect, but when there's good communication, you can be successful because you get people on the same page. And if you're all heading in the same direction, rowing in the same direction, all aligned, you have a lot better chance of accomplishing anything. I mean, just look at any sport and see how that works, and look when it doesn't exist, how bad it is in really any situation. So one of the first things that we did was we said, all right, well, hey, we normally make decisions based on these values, the values we have in the company. And they're clear, they're published, they're signs, there's, you know, we talk about them every day. We live by those values. We hire, fire, and reward based on those values. But they're, and I'm not saying they're not applicable, because they certainly are, but there's certain things that this pandemic has brought upon us that basically changes the way we make decisions. So we basically, we had to layer on top of our values, what are our guiding principles for decision making? Because it's like profit is like the last consideration, right? Which a lot of times that's one of the first considerations when you're making business decisions. So we published.
Sure.
And I guess it probably wasn't one of the first things we did. One of the first things we did was we just made decisions based on instinct, to be perfectly honest with you. But then maybe a week or so into it, we said, well, hey, you know, let's think about this. Let's be strategic. Let's communicate what is driving our decisions. And we came up with three guiding principles that had been actually driving our decisions and would serve as a good framework for moving forward. And they're different than normal business principles. So well-being first, safety for all the people, take minimal rest for the business, supporting the greater good. We will choose to compromise efficiency in order to improve health and safety. A second one was be empathetic, and that basically means understand everybody's situation. And that could be, you know, a vendor, delivery driver. You know, we were getting mad when people were getting late on deliveries, right? And it's like, hey, just, you know, everybody's got a story. Let's add empathy into our business.
Right.
And we're
right.
a bunch of engineers like everybody else in this industry. So that's not probably one of our most forthcoming traits. And then the third one is come out on top. And how can we take this opportunity, come out of it stronger? And that can be anything from strengthening the team to it's actually a great time to hire. We have bought some additional equipment because there's been some, you know, some pretty good discounting. People have been, you know, anxious to move equipment. So we've done all those things and tried to put it in the best framework possible.
How about, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it because you're not putting, it's not often that you hear business people not putting the bottom line first. But with that, how did you do it from a, I guess, a technical standpoint, like just real quick, like things, you know, the usual separating, social distancing, were there specific things that you put in place or your leadership team put in place to ensure the safety? Since you're obviously very, you know, empathy was very high on your list. Did you do things for your employees in particular to kind of emphasize that?
Yeah, we've done all the things, right? All the things everybody else is doing in terms of, you know, travel only in the most extreme circumstances for our most essential customers, self-quarantining after events like that. We've split our shifts in the manufacturing floor, so we have less people on the floor at a time. I mean, those guys, they're working 5 to 1:30 or 2 to 10:30. So
2 in the morning?
No, 2 p.m. to 5:30. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So brutal shifts for both of them, completely
right.
Blew up their routines and they did it without complaint. Right. So we've done all those things. We're wearing masks, we're cleaning, we're sanitizing, you know, the whole deal, the office scattered. I mean, it was like this came up and within a half day, everybody was gone. It was like, hey, if you can work from home, go do it. And everybody was just kind of freaked out. Okay, let's go. So it was really weird. Everybody was just leaving the building with a monitor under one hand, a keyboard on the other hand, mouses falling over. I mean, it was really strange, really strange.
Has that worked? Like the teleworking with everybody brought their stuff in, working from there? Is that, you know, for the most part?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, we had a few technical issues in the beginning. And like anything else, there's a curve, right? So some people love it. They're never coming back. Some people hate it. They can't wait to come back. And everybody else in the middle is you know, tolerating it or dealing with it. Or sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's terrible. I think the bottom line is, though, that it's what we need to do. People are doing it without complaint. I mean, we're having senior leadership team meetings. And Nicole Tamburino, she's our operations manager. She's got her daughter, Izzy. I don't know how old she is. Maybe 5. And Izzy is in her lap playing with her hair while Nicole is discussing the organizational structure, what it should be. It's hilarious. And, you know, we're all on a GoToMeeting, so you can see these cameras and you can see her. And, you know, we all say hi and she waves back. And, you know, it's crazy where, you know, before, if something like that would happen, people would say, get out of the room. I'm on a conference call. And now today it's like, you know, the kids are climbing all over and that's just what it is. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just, I don't know that everybody's approaching it the same way. That's why it's refreshing to hear you as someone in charge that is approaching it that way, because I'm sure there's some people that are, you know, still very uptight and not really willing to kind of roll with the punches.
I guess it's possible. Yeah, I'm sure there's all types. And, you know, I would say we're probably the rule, not the exception. But I think we're just rolling with the punches and doing what they're doing.
Do you guys have to do or are you doing anything with like taking people's temperatures, things like that when they come in? Or how's that working?
We're not. So basically our manufacturing floor is working. I mean, they're the ones coming into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing that. A lot of companies are. You know, I don't know. I feel like our team. So before the government mandate came out that said, if somebody has to quarantine, they're still going to get paid kind of above and beyond the, you know, unemployment stuff. I forget which of the acts that is, or
right.
Not paycheck protection, but But in any case, that kid was one of the first things to come out. We actually did that prior to that. We said, hey, listen, if you feel sick, go home. We're going to pay you. We're going to pay you up to, what do we call that? Emergency fund or something. And we said, listen, if you're feeling at all, just go home.
Okay.
You know, we don't want you to get sick. We don't want you to get us sick. We want to be on the safe side of this. Who knows where this is going to go? So we did that. And, you know, I just have this trust that maybe I'm ignorant. I don't know. I just have this trust that if people aren't feeling good, they're not going to come in.
Well, I guess, it speaks to your relationship with your employees that I would assume you know most of them well enough that they're not going to, you know, if they have the option to stay home, they're going to stay home, especially because they're still going to make their money. You're not worried about them not coming to work and just freeloading off of you. So there's obviously a trust both ways there.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. How about the people that are coming in, things like hazard pay? I mean, for some people that's like a third rail, like you bring that up and they don't want to, you know, discuss it. I'm going to bring it up. So
yeah,
what, you know, companies don't want to talk about it. Don't want to even have that even enter the conversation. So what do you guys have? Has that come up? How are you guys handling it?
Yeah, that has come up. And you know, everybody's concerned about that. I think as a business leader, the first thing you think about that is, okay, it's a can of worms. How far do you go? Where do you draw the lines? Right. So we thought about it and very quickly we said, this is going to be too complicated because who gets it and how far and how long and what happens if they work 4 days that week instead of five and should it be by hour or should it be by the week and how do we track that? That was our first reaction, was this is too complicated. And then we thought about it a little bit more. And as a leadership team, we sat together and we said, you know, we really want to do this. There are people in this business that are going above and beyond and taking additional risk. I mean, if you leave your house to go to work and you're working around people who, you know, all have families, you're exponentially increasing your risk factor. If you travel to a job site, you're exponentially increasing your risk factor. We instituted what we call warrior pay. Being a warrior is one of our values. And it's about overcoming obstacles and fighting through the fight because we have lots of challenges like everybody else. So we instituted warrior pay where it's X amount of dollars. I think it's $200 a week per employee. And these are basically the people that are either traveling or coming to work every day. So it's going to end up costing the company somewhere in the $30,000 to $50,000 range. And, you know, that's not small money. That's not huge money. But at the same time, it's a way to show appreciation and respect for the increased level of risk that that those who are undertaking are accepting.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it can't really put a price on, I guess they say peace of mind or something like that. But, you know, it is a large sum of money, but then at the end of the day, is it that big of a hit for, because from what I understand, you guys are doing really well from a business standpoint, correct?
Well, we are. You know, I say that with hesitation because you never know what's coming.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx. We're not jinxing.
Thank you for jinxing. Yeah. Yeah, we're you know, we had a pretty good backlog going into this. The engineering department would say that's an understatement because they're standing on their heads trying to get everything done. That of course leads to a pretty good manufacturing backlog, and we still have plenty of opportunities with our essential customers that still need stuff. So we're still working hard. Bookings are not amazing, but they're certainly suitable. So I think when it comes down to it, it really is, why does NCC exist and what are we trying to do and what are we trying to achieve? And, you know, making the place a better world through the mechanisms that we have, and the ways that we can affect it is definitely one of the most important things. So if we can ease some of the burden, or at least make the burdens taste a little bit sweeter on those that are accepting a lion's share of the burden, then that's kind of a no-brainer when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you tend to look on the bright side of things more than most, which is a great, obviously a fantastic trait to have. And we've, you know, you gave us time today and we've already taken a good piece of your time. So I guess I just kind of want to, I guess, wrap up asking, you've kind of hit on a lot of it, but I guess overall, like, how have you turned this is a negative situation. Everybody sees it's a negative situation. We're all living through this negative situation. How have you turned it into not a positive, I guess sounds wrong, but like but the positive that's going to come out of it for NCC and for you and your employees, like, how have you got your employees to feel this way? How have you, is it, can you speak to, they kind of understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a matter of a mindset, right? We can all look at every situation however we want, right? And you can, there's always in everybody's life, there's always a bunch of crap and there's a bunch of good things. And, you know, you can choose to focus on what you want to focus on. So there's a lot of issues that we have today, logistics and just doing business a completely different way. It's hard to work with everybody remote. I'd say that the overwhelming most positive thing is that, you know, when you go through challenges with each other and you kind of fight through things together as a team and not fight with each other, but fight against the situation with each other, it just really strengthens everything.
Mm-hmm. No, it's perspective. Yeah. I mean, it's keeping the right perspective on the overall situation and everything in general and how we're all going to get through it. And at the end of the day, you can, you know, remember it as this awful thing, or you can remember it as this thing that, you know, kind of galvanized you, which it sounds like it is. Like, this was awesome. It made me feel better about my day. I really appreciate you taking the time, because, you know, it's obviously a crazy time and you're probably doing a ton of different things outside the norm. So thank you for finding time to do this with us.
Of course. Always good to talk to you, Sean, for sure.